Oh, good morning, everybody. Let's pray. Father, thank you again this morning as you are our Father, wanting to share the wisdom that's on your heart, on your mind, and that's beyond our own human wisdom. So we receive by Holy Spirit's ministry in making it known to us so that we can walk in your ways and see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, we're going to be continuing with our series on the atonement. And today the focus is going to be on reconciliation. Now, before we go in there, just to try and put this into a bit of a context as well, Nyani, when she was sharing, used the word church a few times. Now, the word church, in your first English Bible translation, Tyndale's translation, the word church was never used because the word church only came later on. The Greek in the Bible, whenever we see in our translation today the word church, there the Greek is ecclesia. That means called out ones, and it's called out for a purpose. And in the context during that time over there, people were called out mainly for the purpose of government, to make governmental decisions, dealing with their community, dealing with their town, or whatever it may be. But it's, we've been called out. You remember, God rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ. We've been called out of darkness. We're now in the kingdom of God. We are no longer in the kingdom of Satan. We're in the kingdom of God. And so it's important to understand that when we read through the scriptures and we see the word church, you've got to renew your mind and just realize, but that means we have been called out by Christ. We belong to God, and we're here for a kingdom purpose. We're here to see the kingdom of God manifest on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, that twice, where the folk got the word church from, we see twice in scripture, when Paul is speaking about the communion and he speaks about the Lord's meal, that's where they get the word, sort of, because that word, the Lord's meal, refers to, it belongs to the Lord. The same with John in Revelations, where the Lord's day, he was in the Spirit in the Lord's day, the day that belongs to the Lord. And so it belongs to the Lord, and that's where they get the word church from, is like, we belong to him. Okay, but the Greek is ecclesia, called out. And that's where it's important for us to understand that, otherwise we will remain an institution. And the church has all those kind of churchy things that we see that history has packed onto it. We are the people of God that's been called out of the kingdom of darkness. We are in the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ, and we have a purpose, and that is to go and to have a message and the ministry of reconciliation so that people can come and get born again. And so just the context of that, we've got a purpose, and that's the ministry and the message of reconciliation. Okay, now, another thing that I would like to share quickly before we go on, that it's important for this to become a reality within us. So when we're speaking about the atonement, it's not just a doctrine, it's not just information, but we begin to become one with that truth. That truth becomes alive within us. So we live in the reality of what the atonement's all about. We experience the power of the blood of Christ Jesus. We experience the power of his body being crucified. We experience the freedom, the deliverance, we experience the hope, we experience everything about what Christ did in his death and resurrection. We become one with that. We start to partake in that truth. So that truth is real. And one of the ways that it's very helpful, but don't do this because of a religious duty. You do it because of a faith. You do it because God has spoken to you and now you're responding because you love Him. And that is to have communion in your quiet times. And start off with your physical, you know, have the bread and the grape juice. The bread representing the body of Christ and the grape juice representing the blood of Jesus. So now when you have communion in your quiet time, what's taking place? You are now recognizing the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're now recognizing and you're stopping and you're saying, Jesus, you've been speaking to us about how the Father's justice was satisfied in you, how you've satisfied the Father, how you dealt with the injustice, you dealt with the sin in our lives, you took the punishment of God in place of us. Teach me more. And as you meditate on that and you allow the Holy Spirit to open up scriptures and you spend time there, you will find the breakthrough in your life. You will find the tremendous freedom from thinking God's holding sin against you, from believing that you're not good enough. All of those things get sort of washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. The same was when we looked at the anger of God, because remember, God loves us so much, and anything that is evil, that is damaging to us, God's anger is towards that evil thing that's causing us harm, because we created in His image. And when we are listening and following sin, that is destructive for our lives. It's not good for us. It's not the best for us. It's not what God has intended for you and I. And so His wrath is against that. That's why His wrath is against sin. Okay, because sin is rebelliousness towards Him. And it's not what God has intended for you and I. And so His wrath is against the sin. The only way to be removed from the wrath of God, remember, John 3:16-17, those who believe are no longer condemned, they have eternal life, but those who do not believe remain under the wrath of God. Okay, they are already condemned. Christ is the only way that we can be, that because He deals with our sin, He removes our sin from us so that we can be reconciled to God. And so spend time, and you will find, I found in my own life, that this, just having communion with the morning, with the Lord in the morning, and just meditating and appropriating, receiving, loosing the power of the blood into my soul, into my spirit, into my body, loosing it and releasing it, I have found a tremendous breakthrough is taking place in my own personal walk with God. Even went so far one morning as I was just spending time with the Lord and having communion, He took me there to the moment of conception, and I could just appropriate, in the name of Jesus, I loose the power of the blood of Christ, because now who I am as a child of God, all the generational sins, the sins of the forefathers, etc., are cut off by the blood of Jesus. In my mother's womb, the powerful working of the blood of Jesus just setting me free from, because all mankind is born a sinner, okay, because we are of Adam. Now, because I'm in Christ Jesus, by the power of the blood of Christ, and I just release the blood of Christ in my mother's womb, while I was in my mother's womb, it sets me free from being part of the Adamic race, because now I belong to Christ as a new creation in Christ Jesus, and I now live with the law of the Spirit of life instead of the law of sin and death. Okay, and so you will see as you do that, you'll just find a freedom taking place in your life, and you will have your own testimony, your own journey of how you find in a few weeks' time, wow, suddenly I'm not so fearful of this, or I'm not intimidated by this, or that doesn't worry me anymore. You just find, wow, the powerful working of the blood of Christ is dealing with all that stuff that is against the ways of God. Okay, because it's the blood that makes atonement for our sin. and that sin has to be dealt with in Jesus. And we have received Jesus, but now by faith we're learning to appropriate it in our lives. Whenever the Holy Spirit starts to share with us things that we become conscious of, the way we're thinking, we become conscious of the way we're feeling all the time, then you know, wow, you're wanting to give us victory in these areas. And so I encourage you again, not as a legal thing, but not as a religious legal obligation, but as God is, as you just desire, have the communion with the Lord in the mornings or whenever, and enjoy the breakthroughs. So here we're going to start off here. First of all, let me go to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Remember, sin is lawlessness. So here we see all mankind born of Adam living in the reality of disobedience. And because of disobedience, Satan has captured mankind. So everybody, every single person that is not in Christ Jesus, you are captured by Satan and doing the will of Satan. Okay, and that's why we see so many things taking place. And you will find, if you spend time over there, it'll give you many, many answers of why there is so much evil in the world. All of us, verse 3, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And we go on over here. But just to go back over here, I have found that as I meditate and I appropriate the blood of Christ, as I have the communion with Jesus, I have found that that has been such a key in enabling me to understand what it means to be seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, and also to be able to how to use the resources of heaven for his kingdom to be manifested on earth. And that's what I have discovered as I have been spending the time looking at the reality of the atonement, the effect of reconciliation when it comes to the atonement. Now, the word atonement basically refers to the restoration to favor. And there's the exchange that takes place, and I'll describe it just now, but also the change. So that's why when we looked at last week, where Christ is our substitute, you'll understand the exchange, what he did in order to restore the broken relationship in dealing with our sin, so that we can receive what Christ did for us by faith, as it's a gift from God. What Christ did is a gift that God gives to you and I to simply receive, so that our relationship is restored in Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus. The word change, again, is change from being an enemy to that of being a friend. To change for the better, a relationship between two or more persons. And for us, it is the change of the relationship between God and man. And so you can see here, as I've been speaking, that reconciliation requires a change to take place. So it's a change in relationships, but also a change in us as a person. And that is why in being born again, we become a new creation. We're no longer the old Adamic man. We are now the new man in Christ Jesus. And that's an incredible truth about about reconciliation is the change that was necessary in order for us as man to have a relationship with God and to deal with the fallen nature, the sinful, rebellious nature within us. And so in Romans chapter 5, we see that. And so let me just read a few verses here. In verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified, remember the word justified is it's a legal transaction, it's a legal declaration, it's a legal announcement. God is the judge. And because we have responded to what Christ has done, we believe in what Jesus did in receiving the wrath of God and Him satisfying the justice of God. God then looks to you and I who by faith have simply received and believed in Jesus. He then makes a legal declaration and He says to you and I, not guilty, not guilty. So we have been justified through the blood of Jesus Christ because of the faith in Him that He has given to us. And then carries on, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that word peace, again, sums up an amazing way of what reconciliation is all about. No longer are we an enemy towards God. No longer are we rebellious towards God. No longer are we running away and doing our own thing anymore. No. Now, we have peace. We now find ourselves having a love for God. We find ourselves having a desire for the things of God. So there's no internal conflict. Our consciences have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So there's no guilt that's destroying us and messing us around. But also the word peace means wholeness when all the essential pieces or parts are joined together. With the fall of Adam and Eve, what took place? Creation, relationships was broken. So man's relationship with God was broken. Man, because now man has a rebellious, remember, sin is lawlessness. So man has a rebellious nature. In with all of us, rebellion is a reality towards God. Okay, that's why Romans chapter 3, when Paul writes over there, that there's no one who is righteous, no one who is seeking God, not nobody, nobody, nobody. Okay, that's why when Jesus said, Father, sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, you know, all the blood of all the animals did not bring you delight at all, but a body you have prepared for me, here I am to come to do your will. Christ was the only one, only person that lived totally obedient to the Father, fulfilling everything required by the moral law of God. And that is why He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. And it's in Him that reconciliation is made possible. So we find over here now that all these broken pieces of relationship between God and man, but also broken relationship with the earth, because we now pollute the earth, we destroy the earth, etc. All of that is broken, but in Christ, because He has reconciled all things to Himself. Okay, so now in Christ, all those brokenness that's a result of sin, He redeems that. So He redeems relationships. He redeems broken relationships. He redeems everything so that in Him there is that wholeness. There is that peace. Okay, so that's another aspect of reconciliation. And then we go on and we see here in verse 6, and this is so, so important. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love for us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, one thing we have to take note of is that it was man that stopped loving God. God never stopped loving man. It was man that rebelled against God. God did not rebel against man. See, it was man that became disobedient to God. And so the ministry of Christ in reconciling, the ministry of God in reconciling man in and through his Son Jesus Christ, it's all God's incredible love in action. Now we see the difference between human love and God's love, because in verse 7 over here, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. We might die for someone that we really love, but for an evil person that has murdered somebody in your family, you're not going to die. But yeah, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, God never stopped loving man, even though we have fallen, even though we don't like him, even though we have a rebellious nature towards God. God did not stop loving, and that's the whole reality. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Okay. And that's the love of God all the time. It hasn't stopped. He still loves the people. And that is why you and I, we have been called out for a purpose to proclaim the gospel, to advance the kingdom of God as we have the opportunities and as we go through our day-to-day lives. So that's important. And then in verse 9, we see over here something very profound as well. We see here in verse 9, since we now have been justified by his blood, so we've been declared not guilty because of the blood of Christ. Remember the atonement? Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Okay? And that is why if we really begin to understand the power of the blood of Jesus and what the blood of Christ has done concerning our sins, is so profound. Remember the name of Jesus, Matthew 1 verse 21. And you will name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And that is, he's delivered us, he's rescued us from our sins, the powerful blood of Jesus Christ. And that's once again why, as we looked at last Sunday, understanding the Day of Atonement versus the normal sin offering. Because the normal sin offering, sins could not be removed. Okay, they were placed on the altar of incense before, in front of that curtain, but never into the most holy place. The Day of Atonement, the high priest went into the most holy of holies, and there making atonement in order for the sins to be removed that were still on the other side of the curtain. But that was symbolic. It never really happened. Only Christ could remove the sins of the people, because he came to save us from our sins. And so the two goats, the first goat, where there was no hands laid on it, there it was unblemished. Christ, incredible, unblemished, his perfection, his sinlessness, in order to deal with the sin of mankind. Okay, and so the second goat was now, they would lay now the sins on the second goat, and that goat would be released into the wilderness, and Jesus took upon him our sin, and that is why he was then crucified outside of Jerusalem, by the way, because now he's carried our sin away from us. And that's when we see there in Hebrews chapter 10 that in this new covenant there that God remembers our sins no more because of the powerful blood of Jesus Christ. So we have been reconciled there in verse 10. For if while we were still God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son. So the change of relationships took place. No longer an enemy towards God. Now we are sons and daughters. We are children of God. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life, Christ Jesus? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more? And that how much more is so big, because we know the power of sin. We know how we are slaves to sin. We know the reality of the wages of sin is death, and there's a death, there's a separation from God. We know the reality of that, and we know the power of that. And then it goes on, but how much more? Suddenly, because of Christ and our faith in Jesus, we are released from all of that, because now we've moved into abundant. We've moved into how much more this gift, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many, those who believe. Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin, because what was the result? The judgment followed one man's sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. That is why for us who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus. And that's why we saw there in verse 1 over there, since we've been justified through faith, is our reality. But anyone who has not received by faith Jesus Christ, unfortunately, you are still under condemnation, and the result is judgment. There's a day of judgment that's coming, and there's a consequences of not believing and accepting Jesus Christ. There's no other way to escape that judgment and the wrath of God except in and through Jesus Christ, having faith in him. And that's God's good news to mankind. That's the gospel. Nor can the gift, for if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Isn't that awesome? And that's our reality as believers, okay? We simply believed. Church could not justify, our works could not justify, our willpower could not justify us before God. Christ, what he did, and as we by faith receive and believe in what Christ did, we are then imputed, we now receive Christ's righteousness as if Christ's righteousness is our very own righteousness. And so we have now been declared not guilty, and that's the reality. Death no longer reigns in our life. We now have the abundant life, the eternal life of God reigning in our life. We've got Christ's life, his resurrection life within us. His resurrection life tells us that when we, our bodies die, we do not die. We move into a new glorious resurrected body. Always good news. Our Father loves mankind so much, and you and I have the joy of sharing the gospel and praying for the lost. Okay, so that's important. Now, I spoke about the necessity of change, and that is why we see there when God started to speak to the prophets about the new covenant. Let me read there in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, and I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And this is the reality of the new covenant. It is the miracle of being born again, because remember the Adamic nature, as we saw there in Romans chapter 5, that all of us at one time, because we were born of Adam, because of his sin, we all sin. So all of us had that power of sin within us, that lawlessness. That's why our very nature is a rebellious nature towards God. Our very nature, all humanity, our very nature is to please ourselves, is to satisfy ourselves, is to do our own thing. It's rebelling against the incredible ways of God. Okay, now, in order for reconciliation to take place, in order for the change of relationship to take place, something had to take place to deal with that rebellious nature. And that is the miracle of being born again. Because when the Holy Spirit comes in the miracle of Christ's death, that power of that rebellious nature within us is broken. No longer is that rebellious nature that which rules us. no longer. There's a new law, there's a new power, and that is the power of the Spirit of life, the power of Christ's righteousness now begins to rule and reign in our lives. And we now have a new nature. Now, because the sin, that rebellious nature, has been removed, sin has been removed, the very issue that caused our relationship with God to be affected and to be broken, that has been removed, and in Christ it's restored. So in Christ, because Christ, the same relationship that Jesus and the Father has, it's exactly the same relationship that you as a child of God and the Father have. Exactly the same. Okay? It is an most incredible oneness with Him. And that's the reality of reconciliation. And the more we begin to meditate and appropriate the blood of Christ in the area of how He has reconciled us back to the Father, the more we grow into the life of sonship. And that is when one begins to understand how to use the resources of heaven. How do we use, for instance, how does the army of God, the angelic army, how do we, together with the angelic army, advance the kingdom of God here on earth? How do we use the wisdom of God? All the resources in heaven, in the kingdom of God, is available for you and I. How do we use it effectively here on earth? The parable of the prodigal son is quite important here, because as that the son that got his inheritance and went and drifted away, and he came back, and he was now feeling very guilty and as a failure and as a slave mindset over there, and he came back to the father, and we see the big celebration and the coat being placed on him. And it's like, and the other son comes and moans, and because he's jealous, and how's this, etc. And the father said, but you live here. Everything that belongs to me belongs to you. And very often, as children of God, we battle in this area, because we don't realize, and that's why as we appropriate the blood of Christ in reconciliation, we begin to understand what it truly is to be a son and daughter of God. And what the Father has is ours. And how to use it to glorify Him in through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's an incredible breakthrough in seeing the kingdom of God manifest here on earth. Okay, and so that is the key. And so let me just read another, I've got about another two scriptures here. Or let me go through to 2 Corinthians 5. And I'm just going to read here. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. That is the joy of the change that has taken place when you and I get born again. The old Adam man that we used to be is no longer us. We are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. So we now belong to Christ. No longer we belong to Adam. So the effects of Adam's sin, the effects of the fall, all of that now, that has been broken free from us. We are in Christ. And now the effects of Christ's righteousness, the effects of Christ's holiness, the effects of Christ's life, all what who He is and what He has done, that is now our reality. And we live in that reality of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be born again of the Holy Spirit, to be a child of God. And you receive that by faith. You believe that and you start to experience that. So let me just quickly go back to the scripture. Therefore, anyone who is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. It's not it will be, it is here. All this is from God. This is the grace, this is the love of God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ. So as we look at Jesus, we can see our Heavenly Father in His Son dealing with our sin, so that we can now once again come home and to know the Father's love and to be loved by the Father and to live as His children. here on earth as well as in the future when we leave this earth. Really, it's an incredible, the heart of God, the love of God is huge, beyond our comprehension, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Now, this is important, not counting people's sins against them. You have been declared not guilty, but this is only for those who are in Christ. The world to himself in Christ, not counting. So it's only in Christ that the Father is not counting sins against the people. Only in Christ Jesus. If we do not accept Jesus Christ, we, our sins, we still have to give an account for our sin, and the day of judgment will be, you did not receive Jesus Christ, you did not believe, you had the opportunity, you rejected Jesus Christ, and there's what we all then call got you off to hell. And hell really, for me, is like, if I put it into today's modern terms, it's like the prison where all evil and unrighteous people go. Okay, heaven is the incredible realm of God's incredible presence, and evil cannot come over there. So, in Christ Jesus, not counting people's sin against us, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Ecclesia, remember, we have been called out for a purpose. We are Christ's ambassadors. Guys, I ask and I really urge you to really begin to understand this incredible messages of atonement, understanding the effects of atonement, so that as you pray for the unsaved, as you pray for the saved, as you pray for your town, the people in your workplace, your people in the schools where you at school, in your families, whatever it may be, you now begin to, Lord, this is what your blood has done, and I loose your blood. Whatever you loose on earth has been already loosed in heaven. The blood of Christ has already been shed before the foundation of the world. Christ was crucified. So you're loosing what has already been loosed in heaven. You're loosing the power of the blood of Jesus in your prayers, in your declarations. So speak it out. Speak it out, the power of the blood of Christ, but have an understanding, so it's not just words. There's a connection to it. There's an understanding. There's a faith to it as you proclaim and you speak the name of Jesus and you speak the blood of Jesus Christ over the given situation. And you'll be amazed at the effects and the power of the blood of Christ in touching people's lives. One last scripture, just as I said over there, that God never ceased to stop loving his enemies. Okay, Jesus speaks about this in Matthew 5 and verse 43 onwards. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So Jesus is showing us the Father's heart. Don't hate your enemies. Love your enemies, because the Father loves his enemies. The Father has sent his Son Jesus Christ to die. That's how much, while they were still sinners, Christ died. He loves the enemies. He loves his enemies. And now we too, because we've got his nature, we've got the Spirit of God within us. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. That's who we are. As children of our Father, we reveal what our Father is like. And that is why we love our enemies, we pray for our enemies, we evangelize our enemies, we share the gospel of enemies, because we know, because of sin in their lives, Satan has taken them captive to do his will. That is why our battle is not against flesh and blood, it's against the spiritual principalities in the heavenly realms. That you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And that's our reality. So guys, I encourage you to really begin to realize, but God, you've placed us in a town. We're here for a purpose. You love the people of this town. Christ has died, and in him our town, the people of our town, they can come into your favor. They can escape your wrath. They can escape the judgment coming. They can become people that can really begin to experience the freedom from everything that is evil, alcoholism, addictions, broken relationships, you name it. They can be free of that and to live loved by the Father. So now you begin to be focused, you begin to pray, you begin to take on seriously the purpose of why we exist as the body of Christ, as the ecclesia in a town, not an institution church, but a believers in the kingdom, advancing the kingdom of God. And the powerful blood, the centrality of Christ's death and resurrection, is the most powerful weapon that we have, because it's a person, Jesus Christ. It's the love of God that's the most powerful weapon that is there, that breaks and destroys the enemy of God, sin and Satan. And so, guys, be activated in the name of Jesus, and let us begin to really just renew the way we think about our lives, and to know we're in a kingdom of God, and Christ has reconciled us to the Father, and now we've got the message of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. So Colossians 1, as I close, verse 21 and verse 22, once you were alienated from God, and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. In Christ there is no condemnation for those who believe him. He's declared us not guilty. We have been justified by the blood of Christ Jesus. Reconciliation. Amen. Enjoy the fruit of being a child of God.